We have, there's an 11:30 in this room, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Good morning. I want to call the meeting of the Community Services Committee to order. Today is August 24th, Tuesday, 10:48, and we have present for the committee myself, Lyndon Williams, John Tester, and the
Committee on Generational, Cultural, and Ethnic Diversity is here to open up with the Committee on Community Services, and I am a member, and Alfreda's a member, and we are waiting on a third.
Ken is just finishing up this
now. Okay.
Okay, fine. All right, very good. So, Ms. Ballesteri is here to talk to us about community services programs and her role in dealing with all the various groups, community groups within the county. And we'll give it a minute until Mr. Jenkins arrives so we can start the presentation and we won't miss anything, okay? I guess we can do, while we're waiting, we can do, Community Services has some minutes to approve, the minutes of the August 9th meeting.
I didn't get any.
You didn't get it?
It shouldn't be in there, that's for later.
That's for the same meeting.
Oh, that's for 3 o'clock, I'm sorry. Right. Okay.
Well, why don't we begin then?
Okay. Ms. Ballesteri, why don't we start? And then Mr. Jenkins
sure.
can catch up with what happened. Okay, so why don't you tell us about your position and what your goals and objectives are, what kinds of programs you plan on doing?
I was hired the very last week of February.
I don't know. Can you hear?
No.
A little bit.
I was hired the very last week of February in the role of Director of Community Services. I was hired to oversee three advisory boards. The African American Advisory Board, the Hispanic Advisory Board, and the LGBT Advisory Board. In addition to that, I was given the role of Minority and Women Business Enterprise Liaison, in addition to being what's known as the DBELA, the Disadvantaged Business Enterprise Liaison Officer. You need a person with a direct link to the CE, and so I was given that role as well. I have met with a large variety of constituents from the community, from mostly the nonprofit sector. There were Jewish community groups, there were, we've met with Red Cross, Salvation Army, back in my book to remember all of the many, many folks that I've met with over time. Visiting Nurses of New York, WEDC, Westchester, Women's Enterprise Development Center. What else would you like to know about?
Well, what are your plans for programs and aside from meeting with the various groups, do you mm-hmm. have any particular objectives or plans for the rest of the year and next year and so on?
Let me just state up to this point actually what's been accomplished. I planned and implemented sensitivity training for the police recruits regarding the LGBT community in collaboration with the advisory board. We did a training for just one class of recruits. We're in the process of doing a number of classes, I believe 21 classes altogether for veteran officers at the police academy. I planned and organized the LGBT town hall event, again, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. I planned, in conjunction with the five Hispanic organizations.
One minute, if I may interject.
Sure.
When is that town hall event going to be held?
It was held in, I believe it was April. Yes, so that's, it was April, oh, I'm sorry, was it June?
I want to note that we've been joined by our chair, Ken Jenkins.
But you don't have to get the dates. April is fine.
It was, yeah. Unfortunately, it's already passed, if you were looking to attend. The Hispanic Festival, which was July 25th, I planned that with the five major Hispanic organizations in the county. I maintain the websites for the Minority Women Business Enterprise site. I continue to direct the public about registration on that site when I get calls from the outside. I assist the Women's Enterprise Development Center with planning their workshops and presented with them regarding the MWOB registration process. I gathered and reproduced data for the MWOB, which again is Minority and Women-Owned Business Enterprise annual report, and have had initiated meetings with the IT and finance departments to, which we'll probably talk about a little more later, how to make that a more effective process so we can get better data. I organize a social service roundtable for 9 not-for-profit agencies to meet with the CE and his administration, and as I said earlier, just met with a variety of groups in the community. You may or may not be aware that I am now the head of the Office for Women, and so...
You made that.
Sorry.
You made that.
Yeah, I'm sure you can tell me. Answer Ms. Williams' question.
Go ahead. We've been joined by Legislator Burton.
My plans for the rest of the year are actually focused now on the Office for Women. The tasks that I've been performing in terms of community services are now being delegated to other people on the 9th floor. Yet to be named. I will remain the liaison for the LGBT group, and there will be another individual taking care of the African American Advisory Board and the Hispanic Advisory Board and the associated issues that come along with that. Donna Proft is now going to handle the MWBE concerns and will be the disadvantaged business enterprise liaison officer.
All right, thank you. Before we take questions from the members, have you had a chance to formulate any plans for your newest position,
yeah,
the Office for Women?
It was, yesterday was my first day in the office.
Oh.
So,
okay.
No, I have not formulated any plans yet.
I didn't know it was settling in,
but I'm truly happy
been there at least a week, right?
To come back and, you know, at a later date. Mm-hmm. With that information.
Okay. We'll take questions from the committee members.
I'd like to just ask a few questions surrounding the MWBE component. I served as the chairman of the MWBE committee for the board last term, and we had a very robust process and meetings with many, many members of the community who are very much concerned and are interested in finding out what the county is doing with respect to making the process more inclusive of procurement for NWBE contractors. I know you said that you have been in the office since February, and you've been, I know that there, I've been involved with the understanding the registration system. As a matter of fact, we've directed several contractors to register with the county when that system was put in place. Unfortunately, I've been getting a lot of calls and a lot of questions from folks who are saying, we haven't been called back, we haven't been, you know.
There is no callback. It's a registration process where you go online, you enter your personal information, your business information,
right,
and email, and you sign up for email notifications. So there is no.
No, but let me explain what I'm getting to. MWBE is a policy. Mm-hmm. It's a public policy that is not simply, it's more than simply gathering data. It is about a policy that that at both federal, state, and local levels that seeks to make the playing field more even, mm-hmm, where people have been excluded from the process, either directly or indirectly, mm-hmm, intentionally or unintentionally, from the process of participating in government contracts, in participating. MWBE policy is supposed to make it so that that process is more inclusive. And that is the goal that we seek to. The county receives substantial federal dollars. And implicitly in those federal dollars is the, I would say, the requirement that you also comply with MWBE policies. You receive substantial state monies. And also implicitly in that, those state monies, when we apply for it, and the federal money, we to some extent make the representation, or at least give the sense that we are going to have a MWBE policy. It's something that I've been speaking about before this administration got in place. This is not, mm-hmm, new for me. And so I'm very passionate about it. And I really would like to really get a sense of how is the county, if you can tell us, because since the county has received money from the federal government, how is the county complying with, let's say, the federal policies and state policies on MWBE contracting?
Well, when you have, it's a little bit like apples and oranges.
Yes.
Any contract that is the recipient of federal monies,
right,
they have to follow federal guidelines.
Right.
The same thing goes with state money.
Right.
They have to follow the state guidelines.
Right.
Westchester County follows a good faith effort practice.
A good faith effort practice.
Yes.
And what does that mean?
Wherein, in other words, if you have someone, I don't know, well, and let me just ask you this, will we be doing all of our MWBE discussion now, just so I know, because
no.
I
asked. No, I'm just trying to get
clarify.
Yeah.
For those in attendance. At the 11:30 meeting of Government Reform, Efficiency, and Savings, Ms. Ballesteri is going to be presenting about the MWBE program and how the county participates,
okay,
and what the county is
so
doing.
I may not be able to attend that meeting, so my questions were, if you can perhaps, I'll just ask them and perhaps you can answer them on the record for that at that time, so that, you know, that it is in the record, I can,
sure,
go back and get it.
Sure.
I'd like to know how the good faith effort comports with the federal guidelines, as well as with, as you know, that there were recent legislation that New York State enacted in the MWBE comprehensively in that area. There were two bills that were signed into law by the governor. And how is that working with respect to our policy and how we implement the goals and objectives of both the federal and state policies? If we can get that.
Absolutely.
You don't have to answer right now, but if, you know, as I said, if you
later
want to do that later,
that
would be fine.
I will absolutely do that later,
yes. The other question I had relating to the county itself,
uh-huh,
you know, the county has in its charter a statement that is somewhat of a bland statement that I've always had problems with, that says we're going to, it's a nice flourishing words that we're looking at good faith efforts, but it's more than good faith efforts. Presumably, can be attached to some measurable factors. to say, well, my good faith effort is not just to say that I am going to do this, but I intend to further this policy in a way that I can show you that, you know, we've put some effort into it. If you can express for us how the county's good faith effort has, from a numeric standpoint, meaning that, let's say, construction contracts and job creation has occurred, how is that translated into minority and women-owned businesses participating in the construction and procurement area? And when I'm talking about procurement, I'm not talking about the small. I know we do a lot of small $10,000 deals, and those are nice. But we the county spends substantial dollars, as the chair of the capital project subcommittee. I go through this every time we have a subcommittee meeting. We spend substantial millions of dollars on building and construction throughout this county. And what I'm asking is, out of all of those millions of dollars spent so far this year, or at least approved to be spent this year, how much of that, as a percentage, doesn't have, as a goal, how much of that has been directed toward minority and women-owned businesses participation?
As a goal.
As
well,
a goal,
I mean,
yeah.
The annual report that you received gives you that data by department, how many contracts went to minority and women-owned business.
Right.
And I guess,
and I've read through the annual report.
Yeah. I mean, one way to tell, I suppose, is to really go back in time, probably prior to our registration, before we had the website to register.
I'm just looking at this year. I don't want to, I mean, I raised this question last year also.
But that would be a comparison from a time before to now, when we have a registration site that we can actually see. But one of the issues with MWBE is that every department has a different procurement process. So for me to give you one straight answer is actually quite difficult.
Mm.
Purchasing does things one
way.
DPW does it another way.
Right.
IT does it another way. And it all depends on contract amounts. It's very dependent on a lot of different factors.
So it's very difficult for you to really get that.
It really is. And if we may be called in all of the parties, the purchasing contract manager, John Hsu in DPW, and myself, it would probably, and IT, like I said, all of the major players who are putting contracts out there.
I only asked the question, and I didn't mean it to be a difficult question, but I asked the question from a standpoint of, when one is assigned to, let's say, the role, and let's just, if you are the policy of MWBE, as I said, is a policy, and when you assign someone to a role of taking that great responsibility, I understand you have so many hats that you're wearing, it's very difficult to perhaps have the resources, as you said, to really pull all this together. And so to give, let's say, a committee of the board a report that says, well, yes, we are furthering this statement that we have in our law, it becomes very difficult for you to do because you don't have all of the pieces together to do that.
Well,
that what you're saying to us?
It's not necessarily what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that, yes, all of these departments fall under the purview of the county, but each department has a different way of handling their contracts, how they advertise them, to whom they advertise. In other words, I was speaking with two gentlemen from DPW last week in preparation for the last meeting that I was supposed to address, and they were saying that when it comes to hiring engineers for certain contracts, they don't put out an RFP because, and again, hopefully I'm stating this correctly, they have a pool of engineers that have already been approved.
The pre-qualifiers.
So then from that pool is where they get their engineers from. It doesn't go open to the public.
Right, right.
So that's why this is a complex issue.
No, I mean, you give the perfect example there, I think, in that that's exactly why the MWBE goal is to open that closed door of the pool. That pool, for the most part, is a closed door that does not include a broader community or a broader, or does not outreach. Mm-hmm. The reason why you have a policy, and you said in good faith, mm-hmm. so in good faith try to move that policy forward, mm-hmm. is to break that barrier and that door down so that others may be considered and become a part of it. And I'm not saying that to in any way blame you. You're, I just understand that. I'm just articulating what has been, as I said, this is a very serious concern for me as a legislator. From the time I came onto this board, this has been a very, very important issue for me. And when I leave this board, until it becomes really a situation where all of us in Westchester can say there's a fair process, this will always be a number one or the very top issue for me, because I believe that it's not important to just some people. It's important to everyone if we have an open process by which fairness would dictate that everyone have an even chance to get to participate. And I think when we have a policy that says it's a good faith policy, we have to put resources behind it to really make that and truly be a good faith.
Do you feel that people have been turned away?
No, I'm not saying, the question that I asked.
I'm sorry, you go ahead and finish.
The question that I asked was to see, as I said, this has been an issue mm-hmm. that I followed. I know the history of the contracting area, and I don't want to put Ms. Ballesteri in a situation where some of she seemed to be blamed for not moving forward. I just want to make sure that we are conscious of an effort to kind of open the doors. I mean, you're a new person, and that the amount to accomplish in that limited time is not possible. But if we actually are serious about the good faith effort that this county has in its law, then we would put the resources behind it. I'm not saying that just in this administration. I said it in the last administration. I've said it publicly. Mm-hmm. I've had disagreements in the public with the county executive in a newspaper, and I will continue to have it because it's a matter of fairness. Right. And I don't care who is in office, I will have this issue. This was an important issue. Not only to me, it should be an important issue to all of Westchester. Thank you.
I think Mr. Jenkins and then
you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. First, thank you for coming, mm-hmm. and congratulations on the role, I think. can you just go through it? Because you went through them real quick that said that you were managing from a community services perspective the African American Advisory Group, the Asian Advisory Group, the Hispanic Advisory Group, LGBT. Are you, or you not doing that anymore?
Not the Asian group, just to be clear.
Okay.
It was Hispanic, African American, and LGBT.
Mm-hmm. And those are moving. Those are going to be moving to.
They are. I intend on keeping the LGBT group. African American and Hispanic advisory boards will slowly, by the end of the year, be given to another individual, yet to be determined upstairs.
Okay, so from a role perspective, so the African American advisory group mm-hmm. and the Hispanic American advisory group are going to go someplace else. And how about the Asian American advisory group?
There was not an Asian American advisory group. My understanding is Daisy Chow, I believe was her last name.
Mm-hmm.
Yao, excuse me. She was more in the economic development of the Asian community, so that wasn't really an advisory group. So we don't have that.
Okay, so we'll have to look that up. All right, from an LGBT, that the B plan is to keep that. The other question is, so we'll ask from an administration perspective to understand from a staffing perspective how to deal with that staffing. There is a county procurement policy, mm-hmm. right, for every department. Mm-hmm. So there is a procurement policy that under a certain level there was flexibility based on how ANC works, that allows a department to under $20,000 to do basically within a certain structure to have that management. But there is a county procurement policy that says if it's $1,000 or more, you have to go through this particular thing. And the thing that Legislator Williams was referring to is on the pre-qual list that we don't do an RFP, where under procurement policy we would. So a good example for us is that we were getting a piece of equipment that was $1,500, right? And because it was not on our procurement list, the vendor wasn't on our procurement list, we had to go out and do an RFP for a $1,500 piece of item. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have to do one when we gave out a $45 million contract. Mm-hmm. So that's not your issue, that's kind of our issue and how we're trying to resolve that. There was a process that many of us were involved in last year with the previous administration as far as the database, because it wasn't just the database alone. It was a tie to the database and to those procurement contracts that you talked about from the individual departments, whereas each individual department was required prior to distributing a contract that they had to not only reach out and send an email out to the people that were in the database, mm-hmm. that if they did not select someone from the database, they had to have justification on why they didn't, in addition of having a validation of their contact. So they couldn't just send an email out to cyberspace or make a phone call, say, hey, I left a message, mm-hmm. right? They had to have justification on why they didn't do that for an MWBE contractor for the $20,000 and less contracts, because what we were finding in the analysis was that, you know, people had a set of people that they got used to dealing with,
yeah.
right?
So whether
you know they were friends or not is irrelevant. It's mm-hmm. more that, hey, you know, I know I called Diane, I'm going to get it, right? So in opening up that process, this was the first step in that, because the next part of the vision, at least from the board members that were participating in that, and it was, you know, all the people that were MWBE participants in that, you know, mm-hmm. on both sides of the aisle, to try to understand a way of improving the pipeline, right? You know, if you don't do the $20,000 jobs, you're never gonna do the $1 million job, right? So we were trying to get towards a place where we were building up the database, understanding with deficiencies those folks that are disadvantaged DBEs might have, and creating structure around from the county based on the federal requirements that we had to make sure that we were addressing those issues. And what we're going through the process in 11:30, we'll talk more about that, but certainly we're going through a process of trying to strengthen the laws to support that. So it's not just we did the best we could, that we have a structure in place that is supportive of making sure that we are getting the best quality services at the most responsible price throughout, you know, Westchester County. We're having everybody participate. That's a good thing. Right, it works well for everybody. So that was a question of that. For the Office of Women role that you're in now, is there an executive order for the Office for Women? Because there's not, as far as we were looking through from a charter perspective and trying to understand, you know, how did that get created? So it must have been an executive. Are you aware of what that is? Or?
I know it's not state charter. I don't know actually about an executive order.
There's only one requirement from the department, so I can help you on that part, mm-hmm. is that the department is required to provide domestic violence services, mm-hmm. and that's a state requirement, yes. but that's through DSS. But the Office for Women itself it's not in the charter, like the Youth Bureau is in the charter, right?
Yes.
So the question is, you know, and obviously I'm not expecting you to have the answer now, but Madam Chair, do you... chairs that the that we could get the answer to, you know, under the authority, what authority did we have this office created, and we will understand that from there, so we can get that. That would be great. Other than then that the database registration and process, we'll go through that more in the 11:30 session and drill down some more on it. So thank you, Madam Chair, for that. Again, you know, from a number perspective, when we looked at the what Legislator Williams was referring to from a commitment to a specific activity, we show that in different ways, and a lot of times we show that in the staffing of that particular activity. And while, you know, when there's times that are more economically challenging, we may compress those activities, but at a point in time when we look at it, we want to make sure that the individuals that are participating in that are not being treated less than. Right, you know, for us, you know, we look at it, and from our perspective, we're not the administration, so, you know, we're not hiring you in the job or not, but we look at it, and I personally looked at it, and through the chairs, looked at it as an interesting scenario where you were doing this tremendous amount of work, right, and for basically, I would say about half the amount of money that other members of the senior administration are doing, and for me, you know, it kind of struck against the Office for Women issue that said, hey, you know, for whatever reasons, you know, that was the decision that was made. I also look at it and just say, well, you know, that just didn't seem, you know, doesn't seem right, you know, in our context of having an Office for Women, you know, given the big scheme of things where we see people that are women that are getting paid less money doing the same jobs, et cetera. And that's part of the policy that the board, you know, is looking at. So it's an interesting, I'm not going to ask you to answer that, you know, we don't want you getting in trouble, you know, on your second day.
If you want to right? Go ahead.
On your second, yeah. You wouldn't mind if we worked that out, though. Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Chairman Jenkins touched on something that I wanted to talk about as well, but just from my experience with the college and working very hard to change the makeup of the faculty to match the student body, you know, we work very hard at that. And but there are some things that people sometimes overlook. Personal initiative is part of it. People have to let you know that they're there. Sometimes, you know, the outreach can be only so successful without personal initiative involved.
And to, if you don't mind, to kind of piggyback on that, and it's just purely anecdotal information where, you know, the DPW guys will tell us, we talk to contractors, and they do provide, the contractors have to send out, you know, X number of, I believe it's at least three MWBE individuals that they have to pursue for subs. And they send back documented information that says, I faxed or called, however they try to contact this, and this.
Yeah, I'd like to know
this
that.
One didn't
and they didn't
back.
Respond back.
Yeah, could we get that? I mean, could we get that information? Because your registration, why I ask that is that the registration process
that was one part of my concern. But the other part is when you do have a database established based on contractors on the work they do, and depending on the work needed, would trigger what part of that database you would send the request to RFP or just whatever other kind of notice that you would send out. And the chairman did touch on that. It should go out to everybody each time. In other words, people should not be excluded who are qualified. I think that's the part that I was concerned a little bit about when it was mentioned.
Well, and again, I don't want to have to reiterate every single thing, but just to try to make you feel a little bit better before you have to leave. WEDC provides four workshops throughout the year, plus an expo at the end of the year, which we're planning December 1st. The topics range from everything to legal assistance and financial structures and bookkeeping for small businesses. John Hsu, I believe, is going to the September workshop to discuss about contractors. I spoke, as well as Donna Proft, regarding the registration process here in the county. We advertise in trade papers. we, again, if it's state money, they have to follow state procedures, and it's a 6% mandate that the job goes to minority or women businesses. FAA, their mandate is 1.8% for each job. It's a complex mathematical calculation that they work out. And again, we have the website. And if you register as a plumber, any job that pertains to plumbing, you will get a notification that we are seeking contractors for that type of
work. Well, as I said, if I may, Madam Chair, just to clarify one point, as I said, I haven't started this yesterday. I've been at this for quite a while. I know very, very well about exactly what you're talking about. And I can, as a matter of fact, we have had hearings here. I've had several meetings around Westchester last year with contractors that fill the rooms. We've had a meeting at the county center that was standing room only. And so when I hear that there's work and that we can't find contractors, I'd like to really see those, if I can get the empirical data, the actual data that says that we've outreached and didn't find, I'd like to get that. Because it is inconsistent with what I know, having been with this for a very long time.
Thank you very much for your input. Mr. Burton, I believe you have some comments or questions.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. The Office for Women administered a number of contracts and had, I believe, several employees who were contract funded. Are they still in place, both the contracts and the employees?
Again, I just came to this position yesterday.
But there was not a group of people waiting for you to come in and tell them what to do for the Office for Women.
I guess I'm not understanding the question fully.
The Office for Women had a number of contracts
which
they administered, and I don't think they carried out, but I think they administered them. And there were several employees who were funded through those contracts.
Employees, okay.
Are those employees around, or has the rearrangement of the function been that those employees are either no longer there or are working somewhere else? Do you know?
No, the office remains as it was a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
It remains the same.
And a week ago is because?
I just chose a week ago because I wasn't yet appointed to the position when Camille Murphy was there. So
okay,
everything's functioning
so
and
as it was when Camille Murphy was there,
yes.
It is now as far as you're concerned.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any other comments or questions from the committee? Any questions from those in attendance? Okay, well, I want to thank you very much for spending time with us this morning, for coming and sharing your very, very, very new responsibilities, as well as your not quite so new responsibilities.
I learned to juggle when I was very young, and there must have been a reason for that. I'm good at it.
GCD's minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Before the meeting ends, GCD's minutes. The minutes for GCD's approval.
Okay. You lost your
some move with corrections.
I know you got him.
I got him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, one of the things I did want to ask you, and I'm sorry, when you said your responsibilities changed, I sort of crossed that off my list, and Melanie just reminded me. I've gotten feedback from some of my constituents that they were advised that as of next year, there would be certain fees involved in the Ethnic Heritage Days that are held at the dam. Can you tell us about that?
I certainly can. The Heritage Festivals were budgeted for 2010. And my understanding is that for 2011, at least, and beyond as far as we know, the groups will have to somehow secure that funding. It's quite an expensive undertaking. For each festival, it's literally thousands and thousands of dollars to run the festival on the part of the county. The Hispanic festival being the largest at $19,000 or $20,000 taxpayer money that goes toward those events. So it was a significant expenditure.
Yeah, because I've been, as I say, a couple of my constituents contacted me and told me that they received a letter indicating that starting next year, there would be a $15,000 fee for holding these various heritage days at the dam.
Did they receive that from the parks, Department of Parks, I imagine?
I imagine so, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is something that you're saying now that because it's not anticipated to be in the 2011 budget, that they will have to pay the entire cost of this themselves?
That was my understanding. Again, I am not the decision maker, but I was told earlier, so I could, you know, inform at least my groups to try to be prepared for 2011.
Well, as I understand, as I say, I've gotten feedback from the Hispanic community, the African American, and the Asian community in reference to this. So I think Legislator Williams had a question.
Could we get perhaps a written position on this sent to the committee so that it is laid out in written terms? And just one other point, in an effort to assist the administration, assist your office with, as you said, outreach, I'm willing to sponsor a public meeting with minority contractors. If you can give me some dates in September, I will accommodate that so that we have a broad spectrum of contractors present, so that to assist in the outreach process.
Okay, can I?
Yes, certainly.
Before we adjourn from my committee, the minutes of June 15th, would you?
Oh, second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
So I'll wait for the dates. You can contact me with the dates. Yeah, what I will do, I did this before, to do a public meeting. It invites a very large number of contractors. And the county can make its presentation, you know, about what the policies are and how they can participate. Okay. Tell them how they can be more. I can pick a venue, but if you'd like another venue that could be more, we've done this at the county center. I can pick a venue in Mount Vernon. I can pick it anywhere. Just get back. Let me know, and I will work with you on it.
The date now again, because I'm stepping out of this.
Right, but you can just pass
it. We have another committee waiting. Yeah. So thank you very much
need
for attending.
Adjourn?
Can I have a motion?
Motion to adjourn the community services.
Second.
Okay, can we have a motion from
Richard, for
please. All right. You want to second that?
Okay, second.
Thank you. Right. Oh, yeah. There's always a problem. Well, you know, this is a big thing. We have a little bit of a big thing.